The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Out Your Questions, episode 590. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch. Oh, he's muted, but he's here. Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
Oh, Brett, get in here, bro.
What up? I'm here.
There he is. And Brian Bonjoma.
What up, what up?
All right. We don't know where Chris is, so we'll see what happens if he shows up. I'm going to assume he's going to show up. You know, he usually says if he isn't or not. And who knows? Yeah, we may get a Wild Adam showing up, but probably not because he's reviewing 50 million shows.
Yeah, man. He is forever waiting at the TV channel.
Yes. He's always there, you know? All right, man. No time to waste. We got a bunch of questions, so we'll get through them. And we're starting off very interesting with Romu Death, long time listener.
Whoa.
Long time listener, but not first time viewer. You know, asking an original question, not a sponsored question. Very interesting. It's a crazy show already, Pete. Hey, Brett, are you ready for this one?
Uh-oh, maybe.
It goes, I have a question mainly for Brett, but would like to hear from everyone else. What did you think of Bethesda's Friday afternoon announcement of its roadmap? Did Asha Sharma put the fear of God into Todd Howard? Now, Brett, I sent you some links. Hopefully you saw what happened, or if you didn't see it already.
I did. I like to think that the answer is yes, but I don't know if it's so much that she put the fear in him as I think she may have had a listen, Todd, cut the shit kind of conversation. It just feels... I'm trying to think how to put it. It feels like when someone's like, I paid multiple billions of dollars to your studio to do one of two things it does, and now you're like, I don't want to do those things. Quit being a petulant bitch and do those things before I fire you and make somebody else do those things more than I already have.
Brett, in my head canon, I'd like to believe that Asha heard the podcast, heard your impassioned rant. It was like, Todd, what the fuck? Look how upset this man is. The fuck are you doing right now? And Brett, the best part... Yeah, exactly. Look what you did to him. And then here's the thing. When I saw the first thoughts on news, I thought it was hell. I'm like, oh, I just laying out a foot. Then I saw that Todd Howard, after 15 years of not doing so, posted on Reddit. You know, she was like, get on fucking Reddit and tell those people what's up.
Yeah.
He unblacklisted Jason Schreier.
Damn.
Well, you know, when the word is like, hey, like, look, I just cut the heads off of 2/3 of the studios or whatever. Like, whatever stupid number it is, that's not hyperbole. But to think I won't do it to you, Todd, look me in the eye. I will fucking murder you.
Asha ain't playing. I agree.
I know. He ain't playing. Don't fuck with Asha. I think that's becoming more and more apparent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to like this woman more and more. You know, putting Todd Howard in his place. But again, it's so insane. It's like, apparently, you know, I don't know if this part has been substantiated, but I think it has been. Obsidian came to Todd Howard. It's like, hey, we'll make a Fallout game for you. He was like, no, we're good. What fucking ego on this man, you know?
Yeah, it's, and that's why Asha Sharma was like, bitch. I said, bitch, no.
It's insane.
No. You know what?
Just imagine.
Here's what's going to happen, Todd. Since you can't make a Fallout game in less than 10 fucking years, we're going to give it to somebody else. Don't worry, you won't miss it in 10 years when you go to make another one.
Oh, shit.
It's like, hey guys, like we created Fallout, you know, we made a fan favorite Fallout game.
Well, that's what it is. We know that Todd Howard doesn't like Fallout New Vegas, even though it's one of the most celebrated Fallout games, if not the most celebrated Fallout game. You know he's bitter about that. It's crazy. Go ahead,
Carlos. I just imagine Asha Sharma going to to Todd's office, putting her hand on the side of his neck, and she's like,
"Do you feel injured?"
Yo, man, this literally happened right after Brett's rant, so I'm with you, Tony. I feel like Brett had something to do with this.
I think so.
She heard the yelling from all the way from the center of the country.
I think she's Washington, like, where that? They're based.
Yeah, yeah. She heard it from all the way from the other side.
Other side,
yeah. That's the Maryland.
Oh, they're in Maryland. Well, no, Tasha's in Washington, though. Redmond.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
No, so again, she heard the podcast. Did she put that call in? Todd, listen to this shit. Look how upset this man is. This is your fault.
You did this. When and also, it kind of goes back also to Phil. It kind of doesn't look good on him as well. Mm. His tenure. Is he?
Well,
he really went soft on them.
It sort of is a slap in the face to Phil and the previous regime over there, where she just literally like, oh yeah, he's the assistant, and then all of a sudden, chop it all, just chopped all them trees down.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Ain't playing. You know, what the hell was the whole, like they said, Fallout 5 will come out after Elder Scrolls 6. Yo, I tweeted about that. I'm like, I'm going to be fucking 60 years old by the time this game comes out. I'm 46 right now. I don't think I'm exaggerating, people. You know,
Elder Scrolls isn't going to come out this year or the next. And probably not after that.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you realistically will not be seeing a Fallout for another 15 years, maybe, unless they let Obsidian do their thing, you know.
Well, they are doing something. They're working on a new Fallout, but they didn't specify whether it's going to be a mainline Fallout or a New Vegas type Fallout or something completely different. So that's up for grabs there. They also mentioned that they're working on Fallout remasters for Fallout 3 and is it New Vegas or 4? I don't remember which one.
Let me look.
Fallout 3 for sure. And so I guess Bethesda is still working on Fallout after Elder Scrolls, but you know, that's like you mentioned, Tony, that's in year 60.
Fuck.
But we'll probably get the remasters and the Obsidian Fallout.
Yeah, so here we go. Starfield's gonna continue, so it's not going anywhere.
Why?
Who cares?
Of course it's gonna go somewhere. It's gonna be away for like another 15 years. So
look at the horse shit here. With over 17 million players logged in. Okay. How much did the shit sell?
How much money did that make, brother?
Yeah. Fallout 76 will continue. Fallout 4 is going to get a remaster, it looks like. Fallout Shelter, I think that's the mobile game. What is it? Remaster Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. So there you go. Fallout Day, what the hell is that? They're not going to host a Fallout Day broadcast this year. But they're planning something for the 30th anniversary next year, okay? In Washington, D.C., appropriately enough. And some other... Elder Scrolls, here we go. Let's see. What does it say about Elder Scrolls, bro? Our teams are now developing Elder Scrolls 6 and Fallout 5 on Creation Engine 3. Get rid of that fucking engine. Yeah. Fallout 5 is currently in pre-production, Pete. But Elder Scrolls 6...
Pre-production?
That's what the fucking thing says. Yeah.
Why is it in pre-production, Todd?
Pre-production's a catch-all, man. They could have had one meeting about it. It's in pre-production. We talked about it.
We had our first pre-production meeting.
Talk to Jimmy about it.
That's corporate speak for we've started it. What the fuck do you mean you started it?
Yeah, it should have been started. You're right about that. Elder Scrolls 6 is our primary development focus. Whatever.
Is it?
You know what I mean?
That's what they claim.
I claim you're a fucking liar, Todd.
Yeah, I need to read Asha Sharma's...
I was thinking about this thing. When did they get the Fallout franchise?
Because I know they had a 2007, Carlos?
It was years ago when Interplay folded. So.
2002, yeah, but it was about 20 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely yeah. 20 years ago, definitely. Yes.
Okay. So... How many Fallout games have they made in that amount of time?
Fallout 3, Fallout 4.
Yeah, Fallout 4, no. And 76.
Well,
I guess
main
so.
One, 76.
And Fallout 3. Shelter.
No, yeah, Fallout there you go. If you count
okay,
it.
So,
yeah, but we're talking about Bethesda specifically, right? They made three.
Made three.
Yeah, when did Fallout 4 come out?
2014, I want to say. 15 okay. around that time.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure I'm not too retarded for math here. So, out of owning the franchise for 20 years, you haven't come out with a game in 12?
Yes.
Okay. Failing as, Todd?
You count Fallout 76, though.
No, Fallout 76 is just... Look, I said it when Fallout 76 released, and I'm not going to fucking change my tone now. It is built on the back of Fallout 4. It is basically an expansion or a retooling of the assets in Fallout 4. And while I consider it a spin-off game in its own right, and then the fact that it's a game, it's a spin-off game, that's like being three-quarters a person, I guess, but like, it's a spin-off game. But that doesn't make it a mainline title or anything new. If anything, I'd call it an additional. It's like, is GTA Online GTA 5? Kinda, but also not really. But yeah, pretty much for like, you know, terms of technology speaking. So that's where 76 lands. You don't get accolades for being an extra fucking game. You're just the bolt-on multiplayer that became its own thing, like GTA Online. So... cool, fine. That'd be great if it were actually, you know, fucking supported and not just, you know, used as a way to milk the fan base. I've just become more and more disenfranchised with this, but after doing the math, I was like, wow, more than like, and like, I don't even know a lot of the dates, but I do remember like I played Fallout 4 with Rachel 10 years ago. And if they've owned the franchise for 20, and like, I've played Fallout since I was a kid. And so here's the thing that really pisses me off about Todd. Todd acts like I'm a fucking newcomer here, right? Like, bitch, I played Fallout for years before you ever released a game. Then you released a game, and then I haven't played Fallout ever since. In the grand scheme of things, you had 8 years where you made Fallout games. 8 years. Out of 20, out of the 40 years or whatever that I've played Fallout games. Not 40, but you know what I mean. 35 years that I've played Fallout games. 8 of those have been under your watch to a grand total of fucking 2. Like, where the fuck do we even get off looking at this like he is the expert in the room anymore?
Yeah, you're right. And then the arrogance, he's always like, oh, you'll get the game when you get it, when it's finished. That's always his refrain, you know?
Yeah, that has not worked more times than it's worked now.
And he also brings up stuff like, oh, we also released a TV show. Like, that's supposed to keep us good through
no, the he whole didn't,
thing. I can't he play a fucking TV show. You know? Yeah,
somebody else released a TV show off the IP that isn't even his original rights.
Get the fuck out of here, man. You
don't get credit for that. Like, this feels like some RR out of ideas bullshit.
Okay. Kuel says it's 30 years of Fallout and 4 games, bro.
Yo, can I read Asha Sharma's post? It's a little bit long, but the ending is perfect.
Let's go.
So Asha tweeted this 2 days ago. Todd Howard just shared plans for the Fallout, Elder Scrolls, and Starfield franchises. These worlds have earned a special place in hundreds of millions of people over the many years. I'm looking forward to what's next, including the partnership with Obsidian on the new Fallout game and a closer collaboration with ZeniMax Online Studios on the Elder Scrolls. The achievements of these franchises are remarkable. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim has crossed 65 million units sold, becoming one of the 10 best-selling games of all time. Still waiting for the next one. Fallout 4 has crossed 35 million units sold, joining the top 25. We're still waiting for the next one. And here's a kicker.
Uh-oh.
And Starfield will soon reach over 1 billion hours played. And that's the end.
Oh, that's great.
Engagement.
Yeah, engagement, that is funny. How much did it sell, honey? You know? That is funny, man. But, yeah, Todd Howard, you fucking up. And now I'm glad Asha's putting the boot down, you know? So, we'll see. Maybe, you know, we'll get a new Fallout before I go into retirement. Fucking insane, you know? All right, anybody else want to jump in on this one?
I don't know.
And just to say that Chris. Under the stewardship of Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond, they have allowed IPs to languish, or these guys mm-hmm. to just take their sweet ass time with in between games, because Compulsion had the same issue. Like, the distance between We Happy Few, which I don't think sold very well, and South of Midnight was a huge gap. They bought that studio. They let Bethesda do what they want.
Yo, Chris, we happy few copies sold, you know?
Yeah, right? And listen, like, the only guys who are really fucking working, you know, while Bethesda was asleep was the guys over at id. Like, you know, we had 2016 Doom, and then you had Dark, you know, Eternal and Dark Ages. You had three. That's about as many Fallout games in half the time.
And each of those had DLCs too.
And each of those had DLCs, yes, and they had an online component. Yep. So I just
don't forget the fucking Wolfenstein games as well during that time.
And yeah, Wolfenstein, yes.
It has been fucking busy. You know,
they were the only ones fucking working. Everybody else was just like, yeah, don't worry about, like, what kind of corporate statement is it to say, like, don't even worry about a profit margin. Just, you know, tell the stories you want. Like, what kind of, this is where I say clown world. I'm like, what? You don't care about profit? Just, oh, whatever. Don't worry about it. You know, why? Because you have Minecraft to subsidize everyone?
Which is what happened. Yeah, Rich, get in here, bro.
Just a quick comment to make. I agree with everything that has been said, but for Carlos, you missed your opportunity, Carlos, to really tell a good joke. You should have said there will be an even bigger Fallout if they don't get this game finished. So.
Oh, man. But yeah, Rich, since you're talking, what do you think about Asha Sharma laying the hammer down?
Yeah, I think she definitely put Todd's feet to the fire. This needed to happen. Like you guys said, it's been way too long. And what I don't understand is, now, they saw the success of the Fallout TV show, right? So you would think, after seeing that success, hey, maybe we should be working on another game. But no, they had to be told, y'all need to get to work on a new Fallout game. So yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on over there, but maybe we will see it at some time in the next 10 years.
It's crazy.
It just works, Rich.
It just works.
Yeah. Brian, you got any thoughts before we move on to the next question?
I didn't even know this was a thing that happened, but by the sounds of it, the roadmap sounds like it's trash.
Yeah, we'll see if it comes, man. All right, we'll move on. The rest of the show is pretty much a grab bag of different questions, which is always fun. Illustrated Dio, you know? Again, we get this question like every 3 months from some random people. So I don't know why we keep getting asked. I'm like, but I, you know, I have to assume not everybody's into every single episode. You know, the question is, what games deserve remakes? We've answered this a million times, so we don't need to go down. Yeah. And half of us, usually me and Manny, go, stop with the remakes, you know?
Stop with the remakes? I would say, I'll go say controversial statement. Take a bad game. Take a bad game and make
We've said that, too. Yeah. You said that, too. So, remember, the last time we got asked this question, it's like, remake a bad game and don't say Concord. Anyway, let's move on. If digital gaming software remains at if games remain at $80 and the price isn't reduced for next-gen consoles, will you still support console hardware, or will you pursue a gaming PC going forward to enhance your gaming experience? Go ahead, Manny.
No, I was gonna. It all depends on a lot of factors. Personally, like, you know, if that console is like $1,000 fucking console, that ain't happening. That's number one. I mean, and to be honest, also the other part of it is like, if it does roll down, will I still continue to support it? I don't know. I mean, the physical games thing is an important factor to me. You know, I still I might be old fashioned here, but I actually like to buy something and actually get something. You know, not just a file and assurance that as long as I log into my fucking PlayStation account, it'll still be there the next time I decide to do it.
Probably. Asterisk.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Brett?
Terms and limits may apply.
Tim.
Why are you talking like this is in a future tense?
Yeah, right. You're already here.
Yeah. Like fuck that. I gave up. Like, I just gave up on the whole, like, I'm not paying $15 a month to access fucking nothing. And honestly, as soon as I stopped, I was like, why are they, like, even that bad? Like, I used to pay $15 a month for fucking Warcraft. Now I'm doing it, what, just to play other people's multiplayer games? Fucking why? Why? Yeah. Like, I did that. You do the math over the course of a year, and then you're like, oh, shit. And you think about that over the course of a lifetime. When you see those numbers, can't fucking unsee it, pretty much. At that point, people are like, well, why don't you go to Rent-A-Center and just buy a couch that way? I'd be like, because I don't want to spend $4,000 on a fucking couch.
Yeah. I guess the so is anybody here, like, is $80 games a deal breaker for you? $80 no disc games? I know for Mania, is anybody else?
It was the last straw for me, but, like, it's one of many points of contention.
It's not for me, just because I don't really buy that many. It really takes a lot for me to buy games.
I think that's the definition of abandoning it, man.
Well, I think it just, it just means he's more selective, you know? I'm going to be more selective. Yeah. Like, am I going to buy Cooking Mama at $80? No.
For me, it's like I've always been very, I don't try to push it, you know, push the fact that, you know, FOMO doesn't mean a damn thing to me. I'll continue to play the game until I finish and then move on to whatever the next thing I'm going to go. I'm like, it's always been like that. I've never been like, oh, I got to need to play it again. Like, if it means if PlayStation or any of these guys get their shit together, you know, as far as, you know, the digital, if this digital is going to be the thing, right? They need to get all those other factors squared away. And even then, if all those if the digital thing is squared away, or even they get if they somehow manage to get discs going again, if they do any of that sort of stuff, that doesn't mean I'm going to buy any of those games day and date.
But okay, but isn't that like, I get that a lot of people think that, you know, if the gaming crashes or if I walk away, it's going to be this big dramatic thing. But I would posit what's going on right now, where everybody's getting more.
I don't think, like, I'm just talking about myself. I'm just going to be like, no, right, whatever, you know, like, I don't.
I know.
Whatever the rest of the gaming community does, that doesn't, you know, that's them. And what I'm going to do is just like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm never going to game again. You know, I don't know what that world looks like.
Okay, but hold on. I was saying this in response to Carlos, though. Oh, okay. So, like, if it doesn't apply to you, that's cool. But, like, I'm positing to Carlos that that's exactly what stepping away looks like, is being more critical with your purchasing decisions and money, and finding that you don't buy the big name games anymore. You may just gravitate towards certain studios or price points that you like. Like, I think that's, nobody goes, fuck AAA, I'm just playing indie. They start going, I really don't see a reason to pay $80 for a game, but my friend wanted me to play this $8 game, so I played it with them, and I'm playing Power World because somebody recommended that to me, and I was playing Baldur's Gate, you know, which, you know, I haven't played an Ubisoft game in fucking forever. And I think that's what, honestly, the collapse is going to look like for most people, is by inches and degrees moving away from these big, almost quadruple A companies into just, you know, just being more critical, buying less games and the ones that you do, supporting studios that you appreciate.
I'll say this, though. In general, the gaming industry already knows that this is a factor. That's part of the reason why they keep, you know, whenever you see these new trailers, they say, oh, hey, put it on your wish list. It's because they know that games are very much expensive. So part of their side deal is, and I'm sure the whole, you know, funked around pricing thing is also probably a little part of that, too. Where they, in other words, they can get you to, because you have this on your wish list, that means that they can do some sort of, you know, kajiggery and maybe, you know, take off like $5 off of the title to try to, you know, attract you in.
I honestly think wish list is a weird form of variable pricing that's not based off of metrics or data or anything like that. I think it's just there, look, it's, if you want the convenience, you'll buy it now. Otherwise, put it on on your wish list and then buy it when we want to put it on sale. And I think that's kind of a weird deal the community has made with developers in general.
Well, no, they're, I mean, like, yeah, I'll wait. I don't know if it's a deal. I know that it's part of them. They're a part of the way they're pushing things, at least the way when I was, you know, again, I talked about this a while ago, where it was like during one of during one of these meetings, they were like, hey, listen, we're, you know, pushing people toward these, toward wish listing because of these, factors. It's not only to gauge interest, but it's also to sort of see if they can catch them on a back end. Cause they're like, oh, we know these things are getting expensive. It's a weird thing. I don't.
I mean, it makes sense to me. If you're really, you know, tight about stuff, then yeah, you can put it on and you spend a little bit more time and effort, you know, curating when things are going on sale. Mm-hmm. If you have extra money and extra time and don't want to deal with that shit, you just pay extra.
That makes a dangerous amount of sense to me.
Yeah. Chris, what are your thoughts? Because I know you're a physical gamer as well. Like, what are your plans for next gen if it's just $80 for a digital game?
I mean, there's some things I won't be able to avoid because not everything is going to go on a Switch 2, right? It just isn't.
Yeah.
So there's certain things I might compromise on and be like, okay, I'll have to get a digital copy either on PlayStation or if everyone's trusting them less and less, which is a lot of people are, maybe just get it on Steam. Maybe I just play it on PC. But if I can get certain games that I really want to keep, then I would look at the Switch 2 more as the, like, okay, I could actually retain it. Not the stupid game card either. I'm going to have to scrutinize that because you have to really look at the case to make sure they're giving you the game and not a key card. So, but if it's the game like Star Fox, I got physical, right? I got that for Kristen. I bought the system that came with the free game, so I have like Donkey Kong Bonanza digitally. I'd prefer it to have the game card, but what am I gonna do? I'm not gonna get that game twice, so I'll just deal with it. But yeah, there's some games I'll probably be like, I want to kind of preserve it. I know there's a later question about this. I have a lot of thoughts on that one. Uh-oh. With Limited Run, but I'll leave it at that. But with this, it's like I have plenty of digital games. I have plenty of games I don't own physical copies of, like my Steam backlog and whatever. And I'm okay. Sony has like kind of fucked up. But the thing is, like I do love game preservation. I would love to just be able, like Tony says, whenever Fallout 5 comes out, we're retired to go in my library and pull out a disc and play whatever it is. I have very few PS5 games I could do that. Maybe like 3 or 4. I don't. That's a very low number. But like my PS3, I have a ton of games. 360, I have a ton of games, so I could pull those out and play those. So I like that. I love doing that. That's why, I mean, Classic Game Fest down here is next weekend. I'll go over there and then,
nice.
You know, I'll make my list of like what I don't have. I want to get an authentic copy of like Alien Soldier for Genesis and all this stuff. But you know, it's just getting harder, and so I don't know. I'm just gonna have to be selective in the future.
Yeah, Brian, what about you, Matt? Because you're kind of mostly a PC guy anyway. So does this really affect you too much?
Before I answer that, did I just hear Chris correctly that he would praise? Well, he has praises for Nintendo. That he
yes.
would lean that way. Okay.
Yes. Who is this man?
Who is that? Who that?
I do. I have to, you know, if you know the shoe fits, it's like they're the bell of the ball when it comes to like keeping physical media alive at this point, right? So
yeah,
you gotta give credit.
Brett, we need to invent that time machine and save that damn ape. This is a weird time zone.
Yes, this is what happens, man.
Jeez, I'm still in shock. Okay. Going back to the question at heart, basically I am basically what Brett said, and I've been that way since Uncharted 3, and I've clocked out. And yeah, as Tony said, this doesn't really affect me. Again, $80 games, it's just getting harder and harder to justify, and it's really annoying because again, we do get some great games here and there. Yes. And I will probably jump in when I find like another cool game that I enjoy. But again, justifying the cost is what's really the main deal breaker for me. Because again, I have a backlog of anime, I have a backlog of books, I have a backlog of films to watch. There's so much other stuff that's competing that if games do go $80, I really won't notice it because I'll just say, okay, I'll lock out. I mean, I have a backlog of how many games? I mean, I still haven't played the Bioshock games yet. Bioshock 1 and 2. So there's games going all that way back that I can still play and I don't really need to worry about it. So yeah, it really won't affect me. I've kind of clocked out as it is. So yeah.
Yeah. For me, and I'm kind of going to speak for you too. We're kind of in a different spot because we're game reviewers. I've been digital since 2014. I get games sent digitally. I don't buy games generally, like, and when I do, they're already on sale. So, like, I'm really not, like, affected by any of this stuff. But I don't like the fact that people have to pay that much. You know, like, if your budget is limited, you know, now it's like old school days. You got to buy, like, one or two games a year now. Yeah. You know, it's fucking like, crazy.
Do it like what mom and dad used to do, man. You better not beat that game in beat that game right away, because you ain't gonna get one for a while.
Yeah, exactly. So it sucks. Again, I'm immune to it, but I feel for the gamers, man. This is some fucking bullshit. $80 for a digital fucking game, you know? That is insane.
You don't get anything for it. And the only reason why it's $80 is a pure fact that they can get away with charging that.
Because Grand Theft Auto said, let's raise that ceiling a little bit, and now everybody is going to do it.
Yeah, let's raise that ceiling, and we're not going to charge any less for that version. Oh no, they have that the undeluxe version where it's missing aspects of the game.
That's the $80 one. That's the crazy part. That's undeluxe, the $80 one. Yeah. The $100 one is the real version.
It's like,
no. It's crazy, man. Anyway, let's move on. We still got a bunch of questions. Young Savage. We haven't seen much gameplay for Insomniac's Wolverine game. For a game releasing in 3 months, do you find it odd that we're seeing so little of it? It is kind of strange, but this is like a Sony thing. They weirdly don't advertise a lot of this stuff until it's like very close to release date. Probably because they're, you know, developing the shit up until launch, you know? And obviously I think now they really don't want to put out any ads, because anytime they do, they get cooked in the comments because of no disc, you know, which is hilarious. I just find it funny when Grand Theft Auto 6 got announced and Insomniac made that tweet, like, oh, well, our game is on a disc. And then fucking 3 days later, Sony makes that announcement. Everybody's pulling up that tweet. That shit didn't age well at all, did it? You know?
Wolverine did it, and so did it was another one that did it too.
Yeah,
another first party PlayStation. God of War.
Yeah,
Luffy.
Yeah, and again, it's funny, whatever, lo-fi, you know. but it's obviously those games will be on a disc, but they're going to be among the last ones, you know. Especially Luffy or whatever the fuck it's called.
We'll just call it Faye.
Yeah, laundry. That's what people are calling it. But yeah, this is a typical Sony thing. They just don't advertise their games that much, which is fucking weird. And then they go ham in the last month or so, you know?
They don't advertise much, but where the fuck's all that advertising budget they supposedly say they spend on these fuckers?
Yeah.
Right?
But again, advertising's weird now, because anytime they post anything, whether it be a fucking video, a tweet, it get roasted. You know, everybody's in those comments, you know? And again, even if you're associated with PlayStation, God forbid if they retweet something, you know, from one of your games. They retweeted something from indie game. The fucking indie game got flack. The fucking indie game, you know? You look through those comments, nobody's talking about that fucking game. You know those developers woke up in the morning, oh, shit, look how much engagement we got. Oh, no. It's just horrible, horrible comments. Don't diss fuck you, Sony, you know?
It got us too, yeah.
It's crazy, man. So we'll see what happens. All right, another one from Young Savage, kind of related. Is this the new trend in gaming, not showing much of the game until very close to release? No, because we still get game trailers for shit that's not coming out for years, you know? So I don't know if it's a new trend. I think it's a Sony thing specifically. You know, they don't like, you know. But again, it's like they show Luffy, and then we're not going to get to see anything else for like months and months and months. So they're kind of having their cake and eating it too, in a way. It's weird, you know? But I don't see this as a trend specifically. You know, I think, matter of fact, I think some people have cut back, Carlos, after Cyberpunk, you know? Yeah, jump in here, bro.
Well, I'm going to make a comment because Carlos didn't respond yet.
You know?
I think the real trend here is the constant, let's show a CG trailer instead of gameplay, because that has been going on for a while. I know Ubisoft used to do that with their games. They show us a game that obviously this is not gameplay. This is, CG generated imagery. And then when you see the game, you're like, oh, well, okay, this looks a little bit different. This looks, in some cases, it looks a lot different. So that's more so the trend. But we'll see what happens with Wolverine and these other games.
Yeah. Assyrian Air Force, I actually disagree with that statement. He says, remember Crimson Desert this year? We barely saw gameplay videos. We saw a fuck ton of trailers. A shit ton. You know, like every week, you would get one or two trailers for like almost 2 months straight. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you weren't watching Twitter, but the official account of that game was going ham, posting, how to do this, how to do that, because there's so much in that game. They wanted people to get the scope of it. That's why we made the joke on Throwdown. It's like, this is everything the video game, because they're just throwing everything at you. You want mechs? You want dragons? We got you, you know? People kept saying, where's the gameplay? Who was saying that? You know, like there were gameplay everywhere for that fucking game, bro. So I don't know what you're talking about, but
console footage.
Crimson Desert. He just said, "Oh yeah, console footage." No, okay. My bad. You are correct, sir. You are correct about that.
But he did move the goalpost.
Yeah. He kind of did. But you're right with consoles. You're right. We didn't get a lot of gameplay. We saw a fuck ton of gameplay, regardless. But yeah, Carlos, what's your thoughts on this?
Are we still in the Wolverine question, or was it? Or
this is about shorter ad cycles. We could toss in Wolverine too.
Oh yeah. Well, the shorter ad cycles, it's always been all over the place. Even back in the day, we get some games that are shown, like Fallout 4 didn't get any ads until it was showed, and it's like, oh, it's gonna get released like the next week. I don't remember. It was pretty soon. But then you have games like The Last Guardian or Cyberpunk, but we didn't really see Cyberpunk as much, but it was announced a long time ago. Elder Scrolls was announced. You know, Beyond Good and Evil 2 was announced way before it released. It might not even get released.
Huh.
But, 8 days and all that stuff. So we get campaigns way before. Like, these companies, they use like either CG trailers or random gameplay trailers that are far out from the game releasing, just so they can score brownie points in whatever press conference. And that's the whole thing. Cause back in the day, during the E3 days, there was separate press conferences for each show, and they kind of do that now. But back in the day, it was more even prevalent for these companies, where they had to really, they got to have something. So they would just show whatever the hell they had, scrap up some CG trailer for a video game. So it's all over the place.
Assyrian Air Force brings up Killzone 2, the most notorious one, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Killzone, was it? Yeah, it was Killzone 2. Yeah.
It was two.
The PS3.
Mm-hmm.
That was ridiculous, because that looked like better than games come out today.
It does.
that's the crazy part. I was like, damn, the power of the cell. It can do anything. Shit. It can do AI, you know? But yeah, man, these campaigns are all over the place. I don't feel like you mentioned the Wolverine stuff. Yeah, Sony has recently been doing more of like, we'll just highlight the game's budget for advertisement maybe a week or two before it even comes. I forgot what game it was that came out that we're like, yo, they're not advertising this game, and we kept bringing it up every week. I just forgot what game it was. I don't even remember. It was a Sony game. It was a Ubisoft.
Which one was that?
I think this was an Xbox game, right? The game that was coming to Xbox. So you're talking about where's the advertising?
That sounds about right. It probably sounds like an Xbox. Like, where's the advertising for this game? You know, like, where is it? This game's coming out. Damn, what the fuck was that game? Because we were like, yo, this shit's literally coming out in 3 weeks. No one's talking about it.
Yes. I don't recall what game it was. It was a segment.
Yeah, it was a segment.
It was a Throwdown segment every week.
Yeah. And I remember it was Brian that brought it up. It was like, yo, what happened to this fucking game? You know, and then like literally like the next couple of days, it finally got mentioned. or rather, people were like, hey, what happened to this game? Brian, do you remember what game it was? Oh, guess not. All right. No, it was not Crackdown 3. Again, it's a game that came out this year. We're like, huh, since coming out in 3 weeks, no one's talking. Was it a live service game too, by any chance? I know it wasn't Jeff Keighley.
There it is. The live service game from Jeff Keighley. Is that what it is? Yes.
Okay. There it is. Yep.
Whatever the game was. Oh my gosh. It came out the start.
High guard.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Man, memory hold almost. Yeah. Because Brian, you were the first. You were like, what happened to this fucking game? And then literally, like 3 days later, everybody started going, hey, where is it? You know, it's like, oh shit, it's coming out next week. What? Man, that's crazy. You know, that's going to be one of the highlights of looking back at 2026, like the failure of High Guard. You know, that was crazy. All right, man, moving on here. Whoa, this is very interesting. So, Richard, it looks like you are sponsoring some questions from Battle Beast. So I'm glad he's a listener of the show. Hey. This is the first time. Yeah, this is the first time Battle Beast has had this question sponsored. So this is very cool. All right, so this first question is for everyone on the panel. If everyone on the panel were only allowed to buy one upcoming game this fall, what would your choice be and why? Rich, for no reason whatsoever, you could go first.
Okay, so obviously, this is going to be a very tricky question for me and Tony to answer.
Because, yes.
we are going to be reviewing some games, I would assume. But if there's one game that I would buy this fall that I know I wasn't going to get a review code for, I think it's Phantom Blade Zero.
Oh, interesting.
And the reason why is because I got a chance to play that at Summer Game Fest. I played it at Summer Game Fest last year and this year. And I can see the progression of what they have done to the game. There's a lot of interesting things happening in the game besides with the story and the combat and stuff like that. But that's one of those games where I feel like, this is a game that's coming out in October. So obviously this is a game that I will probably play before I get a chance to even check out GTA 6. But everything I've seen of the game, it looks awesome. It was an awesome experience so far. So that's definitely at the very top of my list.
Yeah. And using that same caveat for me, because again, I'll probably get whatever game I can through review. If I had to buy a game, and I'm going to discount GTA 6 for obvious reasons, that's too much of an obvious answer, it would be Control Resonant. Game looks fucking awesome, you know? Mm-hmm. Definitely worth the money there. All right. I'm going to go down the line here. Manny, what's a game that you're looking forward to buying?
It's going to be Control Resonance. Just for the plain fact of, like, I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit weird on Wolverine.
Yeah.
Not sure what it is. And it has nothing to do with the... It has nothing to do with all the stuff that's currently. In fact, I said this before about Wolverine. I don't know if that's something I really would want to play day one, which is weird to say.
Yes.
Because it's a Wolverine game. But yeah, something about it just is not working right with me. So I'm like, you know, but the genuine one I would say would be Control Resonant. And I feel like that's probably going to be the thing that I play after Metal Gear Solid Collection.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right. What about you, Carlos?
So, GTA 5 doesn't, or 6 doesn't count, right?
It can, but I just chose not to because it's so just an obvious answer.
All right. So I'll do the same, and that GTA 6.
Yeah. Like I know I'm part of the problem. If I was just a regular gamer, I would buy that $100 version without a fucking problem. Cause I know I'm going to be playing that game for fucking years. You know?
Are you?
Yeah, of course. We did it with GTA 5. Remember?
When was the last time you played GTA 5?
No, when we played it, we played that shit for like good, what, 2-3 years nonstop? You know, that's a lot.
I mean, first of all, this is not GTA Online.
Yeah. Oh, well, the online's coming. You know, we know that.
Not with this. They never said that online was included with this.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. But again, just like the Call of Duty guys will always buy Call of Duty, I will always buy GTA 6 or GTA. Unless this one's really shit, then I'll stop buying after this one.
I'm actually genuinely curious.
I'm not going to buy it, though. This is really hypothetical. I'm not buying the game because Rockstar's going to send me a review code, you know?
No, I know. I'm saying, would you still feel the same if they were like, this is only... They have said this is only the single-player experience, but like, if you knew for a fact that multiplayer was going to be a separate purchase, like a different $80 to $100 purchase, would you still feel the same way as you do now?
Yeah, I would. I'll be like, okay, I'll pay $100 for a single player experience that's probably going to take me about 100 hours. So I think it's a good deal.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. Anyway, Carlos, continue, sir.
I'll probably say, I mean, Control Resonant is a close contender for that, but I'll just say Gears of War E-Day.
That's a good answer. Brett, are you buying anything this year?
Clockwork Revolution got pushed to next year. What is even coming out this fall around?
Is Grandma Chicken coming out this year?
I don't think so.
Richest game of the year.
No,
Grandma Chicken. Not. Grandma Chicken is by the director of The Last of Us. So the real director of The Last of Us.
Excuse me.
You don't know? Neil Druckmann didn't direct The Last of Us and Last of Us Part 2?
Oh man.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, we're credit for it though. Pull the Bob Kane, motherfucker.
You sure did.
Anyway. go ahead, yeah. Carlos. Or whoever the hell was. Oh, it's Brett. Brett, I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Wolverine, don't care. Dune, don't care. Gears of War, actually, may care. Kind of curious about that one. Star Wars Galactic Racer, do not care. Phantom Blade, I don't know. Grand Theft Auto, I've got very mixed feelings. Honestly, the big one I was waiting for just dropped. I'm on the Pow World train over here.
Hey, there you go.
Better than Pokemon.
What's going on in the real innate? Brian, are you buying
by the way, while I got to say, I'm on the subject.
And Brian goes afterwards.
You know they passed 40 million players? Over 25 million confirmed copies sold. And that's great. Not including the bump from this 1.0 release.
That's good. 25 million copies and not shabby at all. You know, that's actually fucking amazing. You know, that's GTA and actually not GTA numbers, but that's Call of Duty numbers. You know, absolutely.
Yeah, that's insane. And they've just passed 950,000 concurrent players.
Damn, that's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Brian, go ahead, bro.
Perfect segue king here. I'm looking forward towards Beast of Reincarnation.
Ooh.
By the people that made Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And there we go.
Game Freak one, yeah.
Yeah. Technically, that's in August, but I'll allow it because why not? But yeah, GTA 6 is the obvious answer because it's, again, it's GTA. There's going to be a lot of content and it's usually good content. Again, I can't say great because I thought GTA 5 wasn't that great, but it still was solid amount of content that you can do. So, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? That's not GTA 6.
Oh, for me, it's Onimusha.
Ooh, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been waiting to play that for a while.
That's good.
This is how long we knew each other, man. I remember when you bought that for the original game.
Yeah.
You were playing it.
Yeah, no, I love what you wish. I thought it was forgotten. Like the I'm glad it's getting some love. I'll be also glad when Dino Crisis gets some love, but I'll take Onimusha. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, another one from Battle Beast. is anyone on the Throwdown team planning to get Halo Campaign Evolved later this month? To quote Rich, we'll see what happens. that's all I'll say about that. Because I don't know, man, because like everything I've seen of this game, I don't know if I'm really that interested in it. You know, like I kind of like the art style of the old game. It's like, yeah, like the new one made quote unquote look quote unquote better, but I like the old style, man, you know? And I have the old game. So I'm like, I don't know. I'd rather just play that. It's like fucking, you know, the Killing Joke. It's like, okay, you redid the colors, now it doesn't look right. The fuck is this? You know? So again, we'll see. I'm not saying I'm not gonna play it, but I'm not gonna go out of my way, like even for like a review code. If I review it, cool. If I don't, that's cool too. That, and I'm not really fussed about that, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Can I just like jump in like really quickly? This is 100% off tangent. Has nothing to do with the question, but I thought it was hilarious when I seen this. So I was looking at the list from GameSpot as to games coming out this year. So I was like running down the list of games for September and October. So like these months have like 15, 20 games listed, right? And then I jumped to November and there's 4 games listed.
Yes. One of them's a Godzilla game.
One is Godzilla. One's a Barbie game.
Yes.
One's a game I've never heard of. And then the other game is, you know, called Grand Theft Auto 6. I don't know what that is. And then December
big
has like
fucking
one
deal.
And then December has one game listed. It's like, Jesus, like, I knew it was bad, but I just, like, I think just seeing it like that made me just realize just how bad it was for everything else, just like, and how wide a berth everyone's giving GTA 6. Like, I knew it was big, but not this big.
Yeah, it has like repulsive technology. It pushes shit away.
it's such a difference. I mean, like every month prior has like easily 15, 20 games noted, but that's 4 games. It's like, wow.
Amazing. Anyway, who's here is going to be playing the Halo game?
Not in the first person. Again, as I always say, I appreciate that Halo exists, but I don't have any.
There you go. Rich, what about you?
That's a phenomenal question, Tony. I have to be honest. I'm not entirely sure. I wouldn't say that I am thoroughly interested in playing the game. I mean, it all depends on if I have time. I believe, like Brian mentioned, Beast of Reincarnation comes out at the start of next month. So that's like in a couple of weeks. There's another game also coming out in August I'm looking forward to. That's that Plague Legacy game that's also dropping. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff dropping. So I don't really know if I would have the time, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Beast of Reincarnation. I'd like to see a little bit more of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that advertisement strategy?
What about you, Carlos? You're Mr. Halo. Damn.
I don't. What's this for? I mean, I've beaten the original campaign like 4 times, at least 4 times in different iterations in the Master Chief Collection.
You know,
in the original remake, and when the game literally came out. So I don't know what this is gonna do. Like it's just a remake of a campaign that's. It's not even that long. You know, you can beat this in, you know, maybe two sessions. So some of my old Halo friends will be like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like they did something crazy. Maybe that'll intrigue me. But so far I'm like, nah, there's really no point.
Seems to be the general sentiment here on the podcast. We'll move on. Black Viet with a question. Black Vietnamese, by the way, not Black Soviet, as I keep thinking. okay, would it have been better for Square Enix to wait 12 years to release Final Fantasy VII Remake as a single complete game instead of splitting it into 3 games, making us pay a total of $200 for a remake of a single game? GTA 6 Complete is a $100 game and took 13 years to release, for reference. And if anyone has played Crimson Desert, does that game offer more hours of gameplay than the Final Fantasy remakes, even though it was released at $70? Playing the Final Fantasy remakes feels like a lot of padding, and forced mini games would feel unnecessary. Yeah, I mean, they could have, you know, but the thing is, you would have to cut a lot of shit to get that game. Here's the thing. You have to cut a lot of shit from those games to make it fit on a disc, or it would have to be a multi-disc game, you know, if you wanted to keep all that shit in there. Because it's every game is a full, complete 100-hour game on its own. But there's a lot of padding.
That's the thing. Like, they could have just made a one-for-one remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
They didn't need to add 1,000 more hours to each one of those things. Like, I don't know. And they said, here's the thing. They said they were going to do this.
Yep.
People were pressed about it even when they first announced it. But granted, it was said so long ago that everybody forgot. But they're like, yes, Final Fantasy VII is not going to be one game. It's going to be multiple releases. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, like the disc.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I get why they wanted to sort of like, you know, change things up a little bit. But yeah, like he said it. There's a lot of padding in that game that's kind of unnecessary.
It's a lot.
And then
the
other thing about it is it's like none of your progress rolls over, which is also kind of fucked up too. It's like, you know, you went through all the trouble getting, you know, to a higher level, and all of a sudden the next title you're back to square one again. Come on.
Yep. Yeah, but again, you know, we've said this before. The reason they did this is because they knew they would make more money with 3 releases than 1. That's why.
Oh yeah.
You know, although some of the comparisons he makes, I wouldn't go there because, like, yeah, you do get way more gameplay with Crimson Desert, right? Like, but the reason, one of the other reasons Final Fantasy is so long is because of those cutscenes. GTA is not going to have cutscenes like that, and Crimson Desert certainly doesn't. But yeah, if you could cut out all the padding with the mini games, shorten those cutscenes, you could theoretically fit it into one disc. Maybe it would have to be maybe a double disc release, and that's very rare nowadays. But who knows? All right, let's move on. Asiran Air Force. Hello, everyone. Hope you're well. Thank you for that, sir. And shout out to you if you're still in the chat. We got two questions here. What video game do you think had the best cliffhanger to set up the next game? Mine is the ending to God of War 2 on PS2. That's mine too, sir. That ending was fucking awesome, you know? And it also helped that the beginning of God of War 3 was epic as fuck, you know? But other than that, I can't think of any other games that had awesome cliffhangers like that that set up the next game really well. Maybe I'm just forgetting, but I'll let you guys jump in. So yeah, what game ending was like perfectly set up the next game?
I got one.
Go ahead, bro.
It ties back to the previous question. Franchise Halo 2.
Oh shit!
Finish the fight.
That is a good one.
Oh, yeah, that was an infamous cliffhanger because I was like,
Oh yeah,
we're not finishing the fight. Why would I see credits?
Why are you ending? This was supposed to keep going. What's going on? Oh yeah, man, that was crazy because it was it was a highly anticipated game. Halo 1 was a Combat Evolved was a really popular game, and obviously Halo 2 was a bigger experience. And when that ended with that cliffhanger, it's like people were like just going crazy. It's like they wanted to finish, you know, keep playing the game because they thought it was getting more in depth. But yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, the God of War 1 is good too. I'm trying to remember. How did God of War 3 start? Did it start with that fight on the...
Fucking Kratos Zeus's, climbing Gaia, then killing all the gods and shit. Like, it was nuts. But yeah, Carlos, to your point, you know, luckily for me, I didn't experience that. Because I was playing Halo 2 with you. We beat that game. We're like, yo, we're finishing the fight. Let's go to the next one. Let's go. We went right to the shit. Like, let's go. And again, 3, fucking awesome intro as well, you know? Because I think that's the main thing here. It's like, yes, the cliffhanger ending is good, but the setup has to be, or the payoff has to be equally as good, you know? Because I'm trying to think. I know I must have played like a game that ended on a cliffhanger. Oh, shit, it's going to be crazy. Then you come back like, I don't know about that. You know, the way it restarts or whatever. Anyway, what about the rest of you guys? What game ending you thought perfectly set up the sequel? Cliffhanger ending, a little bit of a tough one.
I mean, I'd say Mass Effect 2 did, because once you beat the collectors, what did you see? You see the Reapers coming, right? Yeah. And then start of 3 is like, you know, Shepard getting an award and they're talking, and then bam, Vancouver gets annihilated. The Reapers land.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. That's right. But you know what it is for me, because that game, the main story of that game ended. I think that's why I don't consider a cliffhanger. You know what I mean? They fucked up the collectors to come back home. And then you get the who's coming, you know? Kind of like like an MCU ending. You know, it's like you get your main game, get your main story, and then the post credits. You know? KCD1, kind of. What's KCD1?
Is that supposed to be a game?
Or I guess. What is KCD1? Kingdom
Come Deliverance.
Oh, okay. There you go. Brian, thank you for that.
Did that have you played that one. Did that have a cliffhanger?
Brian?
Oh, no, I never played it.
No, I mean, Tony, you played Kingdom Come Deliverance.
I played like 30 hours of that shit, and then I was done for the review. I didn't beat that game.
So you didn't even finish it?
Yeah, just like Crimson Desert. I was like, fuck, this is too long, you know? He said kind of, though. So, yeah, Kingdom Come Deliverance, yeah.
Here's the thing about games, and... And in general, most games don't end with cliffhangers.
Very rare, yes.
Just for the plain fact, because people would get really pissed if you didn't have an ending to your game, like some sort of ending.
Yeah, and also because they don't do them nowadays because it'll take 20 years to come up with a sequel.
Manny, didn't Soul Reaver kind of have a cliffhanger ending, if I remember correctly? I kind of did. Infamous kind of did.
Oh, no, it totally did.
Yeah, kind of, because, but I felt closure with that, you know?
Yeah, okay, so like it ended with you finding out that you were the bad guy, spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, for a fucking 20-year-old game, right?
So like you find out you're the bad guy, but you were the bad guy because there's this big incoming big bad that you were trying to prepare the world for. And like, yeah, that's the thing coming in the sequel. And you're like, oh, it didn't live up to the hype, but like, it finished its story and then kind of revealed the new, you know, big bad, kind of very comic book esque, but it worked. It fucking worked.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was great. That final battle was awesome too.
It was one of my favorite games.
Every fucking game's getting remade. Remake that, or not even remake. Don't remake it. Just remaster. Put the shit out so I can play again. Because it's still it's trapped in PS3 prison. You can't even play it. They freed Metal Gear. You know.
Yeah, they freed Metal Gear 4. That happened before.
A Serena Force says, Manny, what about Metal Gear Solid 2 with Lali Dulelo? The main story of that game ended, though.
It didn't. It ended. Like, the story of the game, there was, you defeated the final. Like, it's like a cliffhanger is if you don't even fight the final boss, that's a cliffhanger. And they leave that to whatever the next game is. You complete the final boss, there's closure, and all that sort of stuff. Yes, it has a setup. You know, an unanswered question from Metal Gear, solid, you know, from that world. But other than that, it completes itself. And in fact, that game was supposed to be the last Metal Gear
Solid. It was, Metal Gear game. It's interesting. All right. If there's no more takers, another one from Mr. Assyrian Air Force. Will PS6 ever have emulation to bring PS3 games back? With the PS3 store closing next year, games being only available digitally. Nope, they're not doing that shit.
Well, here's the thing. They have backwards compatibility, but it's a very slow process, right? And I'll say that some of the games are kind of glitchy and they haven't even fixed.
On PS5 right now?
Yes, currently you can play certain PS5 games.
PS3,
PS3, PS3 games and PS2. And PS2.
Yeah, which PS3 games?
I can't remember, but it's quite a bit of them on there. But they, again, like, there's some of them that have been, like, what is it? Echo Chrome is one of the ones that have come over. But that's a weird port of the last version, the PSP version. There's a few lists of them. But, like, I would think is what PlayStation is probably doing is just trying to get those ones that are sort of stuck, you know, emulated and already out. But I don't know, like some of them, they just like, hey, you know, play our streaming system, which is also an awful solution. So yeah. I think they will eventually come there, but I think it'll just be sort of piecemeal titles that'll make their way across. I would think more of the first party titles that would probably be, not so much the third party.
Yeah. I think you're giving them too much grace, in my opinion. I don't think we're going to get
any. No, I don't. I mean, again, like, they've been regularly releasing, like, you know, a lot of the old PS2 titles with their back compat. They already have some PS3 titles coming through, but I don't think everything is going to make it across. I don't think the Last Guy or a Tokyo Jungle are going to make their way over to fucking PS, even PS5. Those things are just going to remain in PlayStation first party limbo, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're nervous. I don't think it's not about power, right? It's about the PS3 architecture of the cell being so funky that it's hard to emulate. That's the real problem, because he's basically saying that the PS6 CPU should be powerful enough. It's not about power, bro.
It's not about power. PlayStation 5 can run a PS3 title fine, and we'll see it on we'll see it with Metal Gear Solid 4 pretty soon. Yeah. So I think they can run it fine. I think the problem is just, yeah, their architecture, because each one of those games probably has to be recompiled in some way to work on the new things. And again, also, like, a lot of those games don't have, you know, they probably don't have the source code, because every single fucking studio is incredibly dumb about their old back catalog. And I'm sure they fired all the people that actually know anything that's going on there. So there's lost knowledge. So again, there was an initiative at PlayStation about conservation, you know, of their old titles. It's ironic. The guy did a talk about it in Maine. He'd done all this tour about it. I noticed that he's gone relatively silent as of late. He did post one thing where it's like, it was like, I forgot what it was, like a shot from a movie. It was like not like this or something like that. It was like obviously about when the disc stuff was gonna happen. But yeah, I don't know what their plans on, or they have a guy on it. But who knows if they think that guy is any worth it, or any old titles to be worth saving. That's the other big thing about all of this with the disc thing. You know, what's kind of getting slightly overshadowed is the fact that they are closing down the Vita and the PlayStation 3 store, and then they don't have any sort of effective solution to essentially honor whatever was there. Other than, hey, you could download your old games if you want, but there are definitely games out there that have been utterly delisted, and you can't even touch those. You can't even re-download those since the time, you know? Theoretically, if you owned a digital version of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, you can't re-download that on your PS3. The only way that you can get that game is by the disc.
Yeah.
Still available on Xbox, though. A lot of those titles are all still available.
Yeah. Serious Network says Digital Foundry showed PS3 games running on a hacked PS5, and that PS5 emulation is still lagging behind PS3 console. Yeah, again, that PS3 architecture is so funky. That's why it's been difficult to get it running right. You know, PC guys have been trying for years. It's not for lack of power, you know?
Yeah, it's not really power. It's just like, okay, how do you get... You have to... emulation takes... Not only takes... It takes it essentially faking that to the software that this is running on the original console. To be honest, a recompiling solution is actually a lot better, which a lot of PC games have been doing as of late. They've been taking... They've already recompiled a bunch of full titles, and they run beautifully on PlayStation, on a PC. So the real thing about it is just knowing how the thing works and then essentially recompiling it to work on a new thing and figuring out what solutions work. You know, like, okay, if it doesn't have this anti-aliasing solution, what is there in there to replace it? Again, I'm not a programmer. The guys in here, you know, since we're the programming down, which most of the guys in here do programming, they probably know a lot better than I do. But I think it's just like an emulation solution. Like, if they could get it to work, you know, great. I mean, here's the thing. Like, didn't they say that isn't the PlayStation emulator actually pretty damn good right now?
I don't know. I don't keep up with that stuff, so I honestly wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't look at it much either. But I hear that the PlayStation emulator is actually pretty damn... The PlayStation 3 emulator is pretty damn good as of late on a modern system. You don't need to have a crazy, like, strong system to run it. So, you know, again, it all needs, you know, individual tweaking and all that sort of stuff. So I don't doubt that they can't do it. I think here's the thing. I don't doubt that they can do it, but I doubt that they will put a concerted effort into it. They'll get it to work, but they won't get it to work as good as you would like it to. Again, like there's certain titles like Rogue Galaxy is all fucked up. Ape Escape is all fucked up, too. You know, these are PlayStation titles, and these were like from that first batch of ported over, emulated titles. So I think if you really want a good job, they probably won't do that, but they'll get them to work. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right. So this is kind of fun. So we have some questions here from, I'm just going to say it as it's kind of written, as I think it should be said, I guess. Jam XM Rezus. He goes, first time, long time lurker, first time listener. So that's, or first time caller. Good stuff. Now, a couple of things here, since you are kind of new to these parts, even though you're not new, you say you've been lurking around, right? Appreciate the amount of questions that you sent, but you asked a lot of fucking questions. You know, like the general rule is two questions. And maybe you can sneak in another one. We'll get a sponsor, right? You asked six. So we're going to answer four of them tonight. And then the others I put as backup questions if we need more time. But I just moved these up the queue here because the last question here actually perfectly set us up for questions I didn't think that people would actually care about. So we're going to do it. More about recompiling. So get your thinking caps on. So I don't know shit about recompiling, so you guys have to put me on. All right, so the first question here is, I was wondering if the panel can give me their thoughts on the rise of console-exclusive games being recompiled to run natively on PC. A recent example is Legend of Zelda Dusklight, which is a PC port of Twilight Princess with mod support, graphics enhancements, and texture packs. Does anybody know about this?
So the games are getting recompiled where? On a PC?
On PC. What was it again? On PC. Yeah.
No. So just to explain to you what recompiling means is when you compile something, like you get a whole bunch of code, you know, you get hundreds, if not millions, of lines of code, and it compiles into a program that you can execute. That's pretty much the basic.
Okay. So recompiler is just doing that again.
Well, wait, how would they recompile it on the PC when they have to have the source code in the first
source
place?
Code, yeah.
So was that from that Chinese hack? How are these guys doing this?
Well, I mean, so I've done in one of my classes in school, I had to reverse engineer Doom, the original Ooh. Doom, where you got the executable and turned it into, got the code from that. I don't know if people can do that now these days. You know, things have gotten more complex and complicated. So I'm not sure about these games. But yeah, like it's interesting to see how that recompilation works. Like Chris said, if you don't have the source code for, need the source code to compile.
Yeah, I know with the guys who are doing the Ocarina of Time on PC, which I guess is dead now, they were building it from scratch in Unreal Engine. They didn't have the source code. Although I think the source code eventually leaked. I know there was that Chinese hack of Nintendo, and they leaked a whole bunch of source code, and Ocarina of Time was one of them. The N64 code. With Twilight Princess, I have no idea. Like, I'm thinking because you had the GameCube version, the Wii version. So did they deconstruct that one and get the code? I don't know how they're doing this, but I'm also lost on the question, like, what do we think of it? Like, is it a good thing?
What do you think of rise of this? I didn't know there was happening, let alone a rise, you know?
Right.
I don't know. The recompiling rises. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. It's great.
Didn't I just talk about the recompiling?
Well, perfect. Stuff? Jump in here, motherfucker. Give your thoughts.
I just literally talked about the compiled efforts of a bunch of different.
Yeah, titles. That's why I was like, because this guy asked a bunch of questions, and I was going to save these for another time. But since you brought it up, I'm like, let me move them up here. So I wanted to get your. Yeah. Thoughts on this?
So
obviously no more than the rest of us here. Like, I'm like, I don't know what the
yeah, there's the re- the essentially the recompiling efforts is essentially going in and then essentially reconnecting the game. It's not like in other words, okay, certain things don't work. What's the alternative? What do we do to get that thing? And that what we'll do is a lot of times what they'll come in is like the first recompiling effort actually is interesting enough, and it's gotten faster because of AI. Interestingly enough. But they said a few of them who've actually done these things. They said they all, even though they did have AI getting it to work, it's actually the code is actually there's a lot of messiness to the code, and they have to go in and essentially fix it. But initially, people had just been hand doing it on their own, like going in, like, all right, this doesn't work, or we'll just get this for it. All right, we'll do this, and then to get the games running the best they could ever run. Which it's I guess you could consider it like a weird sort of porting effort, but it's all like pretty much the original code. It's not anything that's standing in the way of it. So
ironically enough, the second part of this question is, what do we think about AI being used to make this happen?
Well, the thing about it is like, it works, but the thing is that at least these guys know enough to say, hey, listen, we know we got it to work, but now we need to look at the code to be like, how is this working? And a lot of this is all messed. So, like, I forgot what recent game got recompiled to work on PC, and it runs great. But at least from what they said, there's still a lot of work to be done behind this on it to get it to be clean, to be a lot cleaner. Because there's all kinds of weird errors and things that happen. But I think the way they're sort of using it is to get a start on it. Because you could go ahead.
I don't think it's there's anything wrong with it, because think about it, you have probably hundreds of thousands of lines of code for a unified architecture that's completely incompatible with PC, right? So the Wii was old PowerPC architecture that you have to compile that code on. So you take all that code, right? And they somehow have it, and now you have to get it to run on PC. And the way the unified architecture means it had one consistent graphics unit, right? You don't have to worry about, you know, oh, do you have AMD or do you have NVIDIA, mm-hmm. right? That didn't exist. So now you have to get, you have to fix this thing. So it's like, okay, it has to access the system drivers, probably running on Windows, which it's, you know, so it's like you have a completely different operating system, a completely different compiler, completely different architecture. And that's a lot of work, right? For a passion project, because you're not getting paid for this. So I think if they're going to, there's a good use for AI to clean up some of that and be like, all right, I need to rebuild this entire graphics driver library. It's pointing at stuff in the Wii that doesn't exist on PC, and now it has to be rewritten. Okay, so, you know, while you're tweaking one part of it, you could have it like, okay, go rebuild this driver library so I can access, you know, all them CUDA cores.
I'm glad you guys really broke that down, because, you know, when I read the second part of this question and it mentioned AI, I already had my pitchfork ready. You know, and then I was like, oh, you motherfucker. And then you guys are, oh, you know what? That's actually a good use of AI. You know, it's like, look through this fucking code and let's see what's up. That's actually a good use of it.
Yeah, that's pretty, like,
put again, the pitchfork like, back down.
I can't remember what game it was that had gotten it. But they were like, yep, we got it working. Everything's working as is. And now the real work begins. We need to go in there and look at all the code and clean everything up and tidy. Like, damn, that's cool. Like, because again, a lot of those recompiling efforts were all done by at least a lot of the
early. Yeah, because the question is, oh, by the way, Manny, it wasn't Mario Kart. It's a game called Mario Kart Wii Compiled, which apparently has like over 200 tracks. So, Carlos, it seems like they're adding shit to it too. There's like online play, 200 tracks.
Yeah, nice. now they're pulling, you know, they're essentially getting into weeds and pulling them apart and just looking at, okay, hey, let's get this working. I mean, it's pretty damn cool. It's a lot more of a concerted effort than what the fuck PlayStation and Nintendo were doing these days.
You know?
Just saying, like, you're telling me a man alone in a cave with a bunch of scraps
and ChatGPT to work?
ChatGPT
is getting this to work.
I wonder where they're getting the source code from. That's the part that intrigues me the most. Because
I think it's you'd have to
have something to compile in the first place. So either they dumped the game onto a PC, right, and somehow decompiled the original, which is what I'm thinking they did. You have to dump everything from the executables from the Wii version or the GameCube version. I don't know, almost the same thing. And then you get a bunch of, you know, C++ libraries just dumped out, right? And then you have to take that mess, or even assembly,
starts
right?
With assembly.
And you have to put that back together, right, into something. And I don't blame them for using AI. If you decompile the source off the disk, if they dump the disk and then decompile it, and like Carlos says, you get a bunch of assembly. Damn, God help you, because that's assembly that had to run on PowerPC, which is completely different than running it on an Intel, right, architecture.
Yeah.
Not the same registers.
Yeah. All this sounds really cool to me. I more power to these guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, these guys are, if they're doing it the way Chris just mentioned right now, these guys are pretty brilliant and should be doing something else.
Yeah, but, for real. Fuck. You know? By the way, the joke I was gonna make is like, it's like, yo, how do you get the source code? You take the disc, you crack it open, sprinkle it on the PC, and you're good.
It just falls out.
It just falls out right there.
But you know, if I'm a betting man, because I'm, you know, we're barely finding out about this story right now. Yeah. My best guess is that they got the source code for one of the games somewhere, and that's how they're working.
Yeah, you know, listen, there are ways, man. There are ways.
There's been breaches that have occurred.
Man, you know, there's going to be a lot of Ubisoft source code out there. You know, Ubisoft is crazy. You heard about how I think it was like code or some shit got leaked. Basically, somebody was looking at some plants on a fucking plane and like, oh, new Assassin's Creed. And then that got leaked. You know, it's like, bro, what the fuck are you doing, man? Get one of those protection screens for your laptop so people can't see over your shoulder, you know? Yeah, thanks for those questions. That was good. You know, and Manny, the perfect setup, so perfect, you know. All right, and the last two questions here also from Jam X, whatever. I'm going to call you Jam Reezus. It's too confusing. But they're sponsored by Mr. Lunar Diaries. Shout out to Lunar Diaries. All right, the first question here is, the fact that Nintendo seems to be the only quote-unquote console moving forward that still releases some kind of physical media, does the panel think that they will win the favor support of physical game collectors to support Nintendo over the competition in the coming console generation? Chris, for no reason whatsoever, you can answer first, even though you did bring it up. You did bring it up, you know, so what are your thoughts on this? Because, again, now you're like, yo, I may look at Nintendo now. They got physical.
Yeah, no, a lot of stuff, I plan to have a physical version going forward, a port or something or whatever. I would heavily consider getting it on the Switch too, because at least I'd have the card, right? And it'd be some kind of physical media I could keep forever. That's the thing.
Have something.
It's now. Yeah. Shit, I don't have my soundboard ready.
You know.
Gotta have something.
It's getting really hard. Like I have a bunch of like NES games, Super NES, Genesis games, whatever. I love my collection, right? Like that's very important to me. Now I can't have everything physical, right? Like I wouldn't be able to enjoy Steam, right? I have Steam games, I have GOG games, like I just don't have them physical, right? Sometimes I buy stuff from Limited Run, or another guy who will press the game, but other than that, I don't have a lot of options to keep stuff physical. I do have some like emulation stuff. It fell off the back of a truck, and maybe I got Never Drive and put it on there so I could have it sort of physical. But the thing is, going forward with stuff now, Sony has kind of erased that for the future. PS6, their future is all digital. And PC is mostly digital, so it's tough. Like, if I want to have a game, like, and those would be very select choices. Like, I want to keep this game. I want to have this game and know that I'll put it in like 10, 15 years from now and it'll work. I guess the only option is the Switch 2 now, which is crazy to me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's not Xbox doing it. It's not, we'll see. We'll see, because I keep hearing conflicting things about Project Helix that'll have this support or won't, or let you play your old games or rip your, I don't know. Nothing has been said, so I have no idea. So the only game in town right now, as far as we know from the information we have, is Nintendo still supporting physical media. So yeah, I think a lot of people, if you're going to collect going forward, if you're a guy like Metal Jesus Rocks or whatever, what else are you going to do if you're getting new games, a new physical game, right? You have to go to them.
Yeah, I haven't seen the video yet, but Happy Console Gamer put out a video of him visiting like a local video game shop, and you know, to get his thoughts on all this shit. So I'll be curious to check that out, because all those guys are going to be affected by this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, especially the guys who only sell video games, not like fucking GameStop, which is just basically Funko Pops and shit.
Toy Story, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. All right, and then the last question of the night. What does the panel think of the controversy surrounding the pricing of the limited run games, such as the $70 physical release of Silent Hill, The Short Message? A lot of people think it's too expensive for what they're offering. For the supporters of physical media, how much is too much to support a digital-only games physical release? Chris, you could take this one.
For that specific example, it's $70 too expensive. They should pay you to take that game.
Damn!
Limited run, press it and give it to you with a freaking basket of, like, I don't know, chocolate and whatever. We're like, we're sorry, here you go. That game is terrible. The Short Message? What a terrible fucking game. That's an embarrassment. Like, don't press that and sell it for $70? Are you on crack? That game is shit. Like, no. Like, I saw this question before, and I've been thinking about it this whole show, that is possible. Like Brian said, we got to go save that monkey. Somebody get the DeLorean.
It's an ape, sir. No tail, yeah, no tail.
But Jesus, like, no, it's not worth $70. It's not worth $5. Like, no. That game is terrible. Don't play it. Don't waste your time. I wasted the time, so you don't have to. Don't play
there
it.
You go. I didn't even know. Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Would you buy that for a dollar?
No. No, no, hell no.
Yeah, that's no, a bad have, game then. Shit.
As a wise man once said.
Get that trash out of here.
Oh, man. All right, that's a perfect way of ending the show right there, people. Go ahead, Manny. You know,
I'm gonna say about the limited run games. They're controversial subject.
Uh-oh.
In general. Like there's a lot of people have a lot of issues with them. I'll bring up currently. Right now, you can buy you can get Hi-Fi Rush with them, but you can only get the disc version. Any of these deluxe editions that they offer on their site, you have to wait until October or December. Hmm. Meanwhile, the deluxe edition right now is offered day right now on super limited, you know, in Japan, and you can get it right now. So what's the issue, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is, but even you know, apparently they're getting that super limited company is getting a lot of requests to buy the game from Japan. So people really want that game, but it's like, yo, a limited run game, where you at?
You're fucking up.
Yeah.
Man, we need a true soundboard on this fucking podcast. You said Japan twice, and I just heard Japan. Like we need that shit like ready, you know. Oh yeah, man.
So Super Deluxe. If you go to Super Deluxe Games, if you want to get Hi-Fi Rush, it's the Japanese edition, but it'll run on your PlayStation. It comes with the art book, it comes with an actual booklet, a soundtrack, all the stuff that you would get on the limited run games one, and you can get it pretty soon.
Ooh, that's a good Manny. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. Woodpit says Xbox with backwards compatibility will have to have some kind of external drive or not.
Well, no. At least I do remember them hearing something about Sharma saying that they were trying to figure out a solution.
Yeah, but he's right though. If Xbox really wants, because remember the whole deal is you could pop in a disc and play your game. Are they really going to take that away for next gen? That would look really bad, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I also feel like a lot of people don't know that feature really exists.
This is also true.
On the current Xbox. Because, like, again, like you can get that Metal Gear collection currently on Xbox on the back combat.
Yeah. And again, the reason Sony, they're not getting away with it, but they've never said you could play all your old games. They've never said that, you know?
Well, yeah, they never said that you could play your old games. Yeah, like they're moving around the goalposts with changing around their, you know, the terms of service, you know? So they're like, well, if we close the store, we don't need to honor this.
Yeah, the fucking meme of the black dude like, hey, I'm smart, you know? They don't have to honor it if it doesn't exist. That's crazy, man. All right, man. That's going to do it for us. So let's start pimping some stuff. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yes, there's going to be quite a bit of gaming stuff coming up to the Coalition this week, as well as the Coalition Gaming working on some stuff. And another very good friend of mine is also working on some stuff. So might want to stay tuned for that. Shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. Definitely check out the TV Terminal on YouTube as well as the Coalition. Myself, Adam, and Carlos, we will be reviewing the Dead City show very soon. I Am Negan podcast that returns on the 23rd of
July. Gotta have something.
There you go. And lastly, myself, Gary, and Dana, we will be also continuing to review Power when it returns this week. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on. But if you care about gaming, stay tuned. I got you covered.
That's what's up. And Manny, what you got?
Dinner date.
What are you going on a dinner date for, motherfucker?
I don't mean to be going on some dinner date. Hey,
let's go.
But one of us is not a vampire. So that, you know, unlike the new comic that's written by Joanne Starr, drawn by Cara Randolph and colored by myself, which will be coming out this October in time for Halloween. Also, if you're at a Comic-Con coming up this week,
this week, that's right.
You may want to visit the Ignition Press. I'm not saying any more than that. And then there's a cover by Kari and I for Ninja Turtles, Tales of the Ten Ninja Turtles, which is based on the canceled Netflix TV series, but it continues in the comic book for all your kids, not you adults. You don't care about
Barry, slow down. We're talking about San Diego Comic-Con, not New York Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Con. There
it's is like hashtag boycott NYCC. We're talking about San Diego right now.
San Diego Comic-Con. But I might, may be at, can't Let's say go. Much more. But yeah, so all that fine stuff is.
I did boycott NYCC when Manny was in there that one year. I'm like, oh, Manny's not invited. I'm not going either. Fuck that. And then I went back when you were back.
Yeah, I was there last year. Good stuff.
Yeah. But I definitely want to stick around more this year, look around some comics, you know? Mm-hmm. Good stuff, man. I wonder if we're going to get any more Marvel news at San Diego. Probably not. Actually, you know what I'm really curious about at San Diego? Are people going to be about that life at those PlayStation panels, man? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, you guys better keep an eye out on those PlayStation panels or anybody's going. See if they open up the floor for
good questions.
For questions, or maybe if they have a giant sign that says "Don't talk about."
Yeah, I will say this though. You know, just to be clear, if you plan to be at any of those panels, keep the shit respectful. Don't start harassing anybody. You know, don't start yelling and shit. Don't make it look worse. You know, relax. Mm-hmm. Speak your mind, but be respectful about it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll be interested.
Be as good as that guy who says, you know, what is this, a off-season?
There you go. Yeah. Channel that dude. You know, sting him, but you're not going overboard. You know.
Yeah.
Oh man. But if you're going to throw a boo in there, you know, I'm not going to stop you, but respectful. But don't do it in the middle of somebody's speech, you know, just relax.
Yeah, wait for them to finish it and then go boo!
Oh, man. Yeah, Marvel, interesting stuff, man, moving out of New York, you know. The funniest part I found was C.B. Sapolsky's out. I'm like, oh, they're sending Akira Yoshida back to Japan.
He's not officially out. He's just essentially going to be head of the Marvel brand out in Japan.
Yeah, so. I just find that so funny. Like, oh, the fucking weeboo, you know he didn't want to be editor-in-chief. He wants to be back in Japan eating those fucking rolls, you know.
Well, I mean. I think in general, we've always had a love for art and like stylized artwork, and
he
really likes that sort of stuff. So it's sort of a fitting role.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, he's responsible for a lot of really, you know, good artists that are stylized artists that got into the industry. You know?
Yeah.
Scotty Young, Kari, and a bunch of
others. Yeah. No, he definitely did a good job with that, but he did a terrible job as editor in chief. I think he's actually probably the worst editor in chief Marvel's ever had. Fucking terrible. You know, we'll see about this other guy because apparently he was in charge right before CB, like in the 2010s early era. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right, guys, we're out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join a Discord. Saw a couple of new people in there, so shout out to them. And, of course, we are available on your favorite podcast app, whether it's Apple, Spotify, and a bunch of I never even heard of were there. You know, so check us out. Download it to your phones or your podcast playing device, you know, and enjoy the show. That's it, man. So once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Blair people.
All right, guys. We shall return on Thursday. Later.
Laters.
Peace.